I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights, make it spicy. My margaritas, make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Get it? The Burt Show.
We need to reimagine the whole wedding situation. I mean, right from the start, the price of the engagement rings that we've been talking about this morning, to bachelor, bachelorette parties, to the stupid costs of weddings, to the stupid costs of honey. We got to reimagine the whole thing. Abby's here. She's got a cousin that's doing a bachelorette party, and the costs are ridiculous.
No, her cousin's not doing the bachelorette party. Her cousin's getting married. Abby,
okay.
Me, is doing the bachelorette party.
Yeah, if you're thinking about starting a small business, get into the wedding industry.
Ridiculous.
Because these people are making a killing on like stupid little things that we get excited about, because I love event planning, and as one of the maid of honors, I've taken on the role of planning the bachelorette party of the decade. I'm so excited, but damn, it is expensive.
You know, usually we're quoted what the cost of the wedding is, right? But rarely do you see what the cost of everything that's involved in the wedding is as well. Because I think, what, it's $30,000 now?
Easily.
The average wedding. But that sounds about right, $30,000.
That's wedding, but that doesn't include all the other stuff as well, right?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking of asking somebody to be in your bridal party, you really got to take these costs into consideration, because you're basically asking your friends to give you a four-figure gift. It's very expensive, I have found. And I was drawing up a list of all the things that I bought, and it's a lot more expensive than I thought.
We were close. The average wedding cost just hit $29,000. Damn, that's a stupid amount of money.
It's literally life-changing money for some people.
Yes.
And it's just going on to one day for this wedding. And so the bachelorette party, it starts tomorrow. I'm flying out to Rosemary Beach. And just to kind of get all my ducks in a row, I was, you know, just making an itemized list of all the things that I bought to go, and also all the things that we've had to buy just to plan this thing, just to kind of know how many tequila shots I should buy for people and how many waters I should get instead. And I was surprised to find that other than the Airbnb, which is the largest cost out of everything, I am spending more money to be there and to be a part of it than we actually spent to throw the bachelorette event.
Wow.
So I want to tell you what the average is, and then I want you to guess how much you think I spent to be there, and then how much I spent to make this thing actually happen.
So, and you're flying, not driving.
I'm flying. So the average cost for a bridesmaid to go to a bachelorette party is $700. How much do you think I spent just personally on things to wear, getting there, and everything in between?
So, and are you also including like all the accoutrements as far as like decorations?
No, this is just what I personally as a bridesmaid am spending.
And that includes your share of the Airbnb, your...
So the one thing that the bride is paying for is the house, which is...
Really?
It was so... I think if everybody is able to fit it into their wedding budget somehow, it is the biggest gift you can give, because if for some reason somebody is really tight for money and they want to be there, yeah, but maybe they're going to take a step back on dinners, they can still somehow be a part of it. You know, they can drive, they can fly. It really did take a big weight off of our shoulders with the Airbnb.
If the average is 700,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to go for you. Gosh, $1,100.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. $1,100.
Kristen, what are you guessing?
I'm going to go $1,200.
$1,200? Okay. So here's what I got. So I spent $0 for the house. I spent $200 for the yoga and boating excursions because we got to do group yoga and we got to go on a boat one day. We're going to Rosemary Beach.
Can't you do them both at the same time? Can you do yoga on the boat?
Yeah, why
not?
That would really work your core. And then I'm budgeting $150 for dinner and drinks and tips just for me. And then I budgeted $100 to also comp for the bride's dinner and drinks and tips, because yep, that's the other thing you got to do when you go on the bachelorette trip is you got to cover all their meals.
Wow.
The bride don't pay.
Well, I yeah, see.
I learned that the hard way in Miami last year. I didn't realize that was like a thing. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, why am I getting Venmo requests for $25 every time we go out to dinner? What's going on here? So I budgeted $100 for that. We all chipped in for a gift for the bride. And so my portion alone is $75.
How many girls are going on the trip?
10.
Wow.
Yes.
So the gift is $750?
Also, by the way, if my cousin's listening, this is the time for you to bow out because we're going to be talking about stuff happening this weekend. But I kind of gave them a heads up. I was like, listen, I'm not mad, but it's a lot. Yeah. So just my portion is $75. This is where I did talk to the other maid of honor because I was like, she admitted to this. She's like, you know, I went a little overboard with the gift for the bride. She's like, how much do you think I should ask everyone to chip in? I said, listen, I'm the maid of honor. I'll chip in however how much you want, but you should probably go as low as you can go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because I remember for my bachelorette, it wasn't a big gift. Everybody bought me underwear. And as I opened it, I had to guess who gifted me which underwear.
Oh, that's fun.
It was fun. Yeah. Yeah. I got a lot of assless underwear. It was so weird. And I'm like,
that's a compliment. They think you got a good booty.
And I was just like, you all know, like, that doesn't happen, right? Like, we detailed my fissure experience on the show quite a bit. I'm very perplexed why I'm getting all of this.
I think it's a compliment. They want you to show it off.
All right.
I spent $300 for the flight to get there, which was one of the more expensive things, but I was like, I'm not driving hungover.
Yeah, and from here, it's like a 12-minute flight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's literally, we're gonna jump up and then we're gonna jump down.
It's a 5.5-hour drive.
Yeah, but I mean, but she's flying, so yeah, it's like, it's gonna be, it's literally 19 minutes.
Yeah, literally 20 minutes. And then this is the girl math that I did in my head. So I have a clothing subscription that I get every month. It's $100 from Nuuly, but you get like 6 items. So I use some of those items and I'm like, that's free. So I can wear some of those outfits on the trip. So that was $100, but it doesn't count. And then I got a dress because we have blue dress up night. We have to wear a blue dress. I got a dress on sale for $84.
Wow.
I needed a new yoga set, which again, girl math, I work out every day. I figured I can rewear this again. Mm-hmm. I did splurge and get a Lululemon set for $150.
That one's on you.
That one's on me.
I could have gone to Amazon, but I was like, I'll rewear it. And then I had to have a new swimsuit because I can't be looking dusty next to all these hot 22-year-olds. So I had to get a nice swimsuit. I did get it at a sample sale, though. It was normally $150. It was on sale for $80.
Okay.
Girl math. It was free. I spent $100 on beachy accessories and then $40 from a spray tan because I can't come looking pasty.
Of course not.
Can we reverse back for just 1 second?
Yes.
Beachy accessories.
Oh, yes. I needed a wicker purse.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a purse that matches my beachy outfits. Mm. I needed claw clips.
Yeah.
A claw clip.
Claw clip, you know, because you have to like fold your hair for the beach and it's
Can't you just put a hat on or something?
Rubber band. I needed a hat too.
Yeah, you had a sun hat.
I needed a hat that said it spritz a clock because like how am I going to do a spritz bar without a hat that says it spritz a clock?
Absolutely, yeah.
So all of that added up to $1,279.
Wow.
And everything I bought to put on the party was less than that.
I got close. Yeah,
man. Totally. We got to reimagine the entire industry.
No, it sounds so much fun. You're going to have the best time.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I will be blowing up my Instagram this weekend. So go ahead, mute me now if you don't want to see it. Because I got custom cookies, custom wine labels, custom tequila shots. We have a spritz bar. There is a custom cocktail for every night. And I will be blowing up the IG. So tune in.
My bachelor party literally was 7 dudes. We're meeting in New Orleans at the same hotel. That's it.
That's it. That's it.
That's it. That's all you guys got arrested, honestly. One guy spent the night in the hall. It was awesome.
I can guarantee you no one will be getting arrested on our coastal grandmother bachelorette trip.
Get it. The Burt Show.
All right, Abigail here needs our help. She has questions. Why would a dude go above and beyond to find her, track her down, go out with her, and then ghost her? And she needs answers, which we will have for her this morning. Hey, Abigail.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, tell us the history here, the date, who he is. You know that he went above and beyond to go out with you.
All right. So we grew up about an hour away. I don't want to say exactly where, because I don't want to say with this, you know, the station hearing
it. You're good.
Yeah. All right. So a couple of months ago, he contacted me. He was my high school sweetheart, and he had only moved a few minutes away from me, and we started texting, and we got flirty, and we went out a couple of times, which is really exciting, which is fun, and we did hook up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think this might lead to somewhere, and I was getting kind of excited about it. And he straight up ghosted me, and hasn't returned any of my attempts to contact me. And I don't understand why. I thought what we had going was a good thing, and he was the one who contacted me in the first place. So I'm kind of perplexed by it, because he was pursuing me hardcore, and things were getting started. It was really good, and then he just stopped cold turkey talking to me.
All right, so when you said we hooked up, are you talking about we hooked up, met each other? Or are you talking about hooked up?
Hooked up.
Mm-hmm. First date, hooked up, right?
Well, it's not like first date because they were high school sweethearts.
Yeah.
Seriously? No, girl math. Right?
100% We needed that one earlier.
I have never felt so pulled out. But it's true.
Not really.
Okay,
how long ago was that? High school?
Yeah.
Yeah, how long ago?
I mean,
6 years ago, 7 years ago, 5 years ago.
Did you mumble it?
It was She's like,
wasn't yesterday.
We get it. Okay.
All right.
So is it possible he goes beyond, you know, he just wants to link up, guess what he wants, and that's all he wanted, and then just kind of ghosted you? I mean, it seems sort of obvious, maybe.
No, I mean, it didn't feel, because it'd be one thing if we just, like, met up and, like, had, you know, hooked up, and then that was that. But, like, we were spending, like, all day together.
Oh, all day. So you guys invested us.
Like, talk on the phone. It felt like it was going to relationship, though, you know? Like, it didn't feel like a casual thing. And I mean, I've gone over it in my mind being, like, is this just in my head? Like, did we spend all that time together? And we're like, and I've thought about it. And like, no, we did. And I looked at my phone. We did talk on the phone for like 2.5 hours. We did do these things. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All of this was before or after the hookup?
I mean, after as well. Cause I mean, we hooked up a few times. So it wasn't like,
a one and done. Okay.
Right. So where did the communication, how did it just end? Was it after a night together, then you follow up with him, and then he just, there's just nothing?
Yeah. And well, it was like after a night together, we talked like a day or two afterwards, and then I followed up being like, hey, are we still going to go blah, 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 and then I just didn't hear from him.
Anybody?
Had nothing.
No. I was going to say maybe it's a classic case of post-nut clarity, but if you did it a couple of times.
We're on fire.
Yo. You know this is the show and not the podcast. You know.
Well, I mean, it's not a bad word.
What did you call it?
Don't.
Oh,
why are you asking?
Did you say what I thought
yes,
she said?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you need to dump it? I don't know.
No.
I was going to say post-bust clarity, but I
didn't. Okay.
I like this, Abby.
I do too.
Oh, she's going to get us fired. But I do like
it. It was a good ride. We're all tired.
It was.
Yeah. Really nice.
We had a run.
Yeah, so what Abby in a roundabout way is saying might be true.
That would be my theory.
I mean, it's all romantic. He's got all the feelings, and then the feelings are released. And yeah. Then he realizes, oh, well, that wasn't what I thought it was. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Have you guys experienced that?
Never.
No.
You're lying. Absolutely liar, not. Liar, pants on fire.
Never.
Yeah, quite a bit. Quite a bit. And the things we can fool ourselves into, right? Until it actually happens and you're like, yeah, I should have known that.
100%.
All right, Abigail, you asked us to reach out to him to try to get some answers, which is exactly what our show director, Tommy, did. He got some a response back. So you give us a couple of minutes, and when we come back, we'll tell you exactly what he said, okay?
All right, thank you so much.
All right, it's The Burt Show.
Get it, The Burt Show.
Dude goes above and beyond to track her down, go out on a date, a few dates. I mean, really works hard, and then all of a sudden, just ghosts on her. So, of course, Abigail here is wondering, like, what happened? The dude won't return my text. I have no idea what happened. So she hits us up, and we put Tommy on it, who is our show director, to reach out to this dude just to find out, like, what is going on? She did tell us that she kind of gave up the good stuff early, so that Mo and I were thinking maybe that was it. But she says he was texting after that also. So, Abigail, you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay, Tommy, you want to take it from here?
All right, Abigail. I did reach out to Matt, and he emailed me back, and here's what he said. Abigail and I did reconnect recently. I thought there might be something there, and maybe I would still have feelings for her. I admit we went out a couple of times and we did get physical. At that time, I was in a bit of a confusing place.
He needed some clarity.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, I'm in a relationship with someone.
Matthew.
We've been together for a while and things have started to get more serious. She is considering moving to be closer to me, and I was trying to figure out if there was something more out there before making such a significant commitment.
Wow, really?
That's jacked up.
Well, we asked him to be honest.
It sounds callous, I know.
It doesn't sound callous, it is callous. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
And I genuinely did not intend to lead Abigail on. Mm-hmm. I thought exploring other situations might help me figure out my feelings. Unfortunately, in this process, I realize I didn't feel that spark with Abigail.
That is guy math right there.
This is definitely boy math.
Sure. I should have handled it differently.
Mm-hmm.
I completely understand if she can't forgive me. She deserves someone great, and I hope she finds that. Take care, Matt.
Take care. Have a good night.
Wish you the best.
Hey. It was fun.
Well,
what an idiot.
Abigail.
Not you, him.
Abigail, you have options. I mean, you can.
Don't make it worse. Hold on, let me, Abigail.
I'm so sorry that was harsh to say the least. You definitely got used here for sure. He used you to determine whether or not he was satisfied in his relationship, and that sucks. Bottom line, however, you do have options. And option A, which is the healthy option, is to just let go. Screw this guy. Move on with your life. He is obviously not the one, never was, and you deserve better.
Then there's the Burt Show way.
Well, then there's option B.
Burn his house down?
We can figure out who he's dating, and you can tell her that he cheated on her.
Yikes.
That is an option.
No. I'm going with option A. I already feel really gross and icky that that I was a part of something that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to get involved anymore in that situation. And I'm also really mad that he did not relay this information to me, because I've been cheated on before, and it's terrible.
It is.
It's terrible. I mean, maybe. Oh, he was. Oh, God, I just... Maybe they were on a break or something.
No.
Yeah, they were. It was like a 2-hour break.
Yeah. But there's a silver lining here, Abigail. Really, you should be flattered that of all the women of his past, he chose you as the one that he wanted to test this theory out on.
That is girl math.
Yeah. That was you.
So, congratulations.
Congrats.
This is not, but maybe in hindsight.
Yeah. This is not an award you want to win. No. Abigail, if I were you, and I think you should understand this as somebody who has been cheated on, I think you should go with option B. I think Matt knows that he's in the middle of a very sticky situation where he realized he has screwed up. And I think he's being especially nice in this email because he doesn't want you to do option B.
Have you had situations like this on your podcast before? Which, by the way, is called the Breakup Breakdown.
On your Pioneer Network that you have to say legally.
Indeed. thank you for saving me going to jail. Have you had the same situation when people follow up with the girlfriend and say, hey, just want to let you know what happened?
Oh, I've had people like literally burn people's lives to the ground. Like I had one situation where they went total John Tucker must die on them. And she got together a group of five women and emailed his boss and actually got him fired. Cause he did more than just like cheat on multiple women. He was like genuinely not a good person. And so I always think you should take the low road when someone cheats on you. Go to the low country, baby.
It's bumpy, but it's fun.
And then you can tell us about it. And you can come on my podcast.
So I'm sorry this happened to you, Abigail.
I really am. This guy's he's a real piece right here. I mean, you're a human being. So I'm really sorry that happened to you.
All right.
After you stew on it and you let it sink in, if you have any changes of heart, just call us up and we can make that happen.
I will. I'll let you all know.
Okay, bye-bye. Truth is, this is a really good guy. I mean, he was just making sure.
Yeah.
Just making sure that he was ready for this committed relationship.
Doing his due diligence.
And unfortunately, she was collateral damage, but...
I mean, he went all the way to make sure.
He went all the way.
Covered everybody.
He's very committed now to his relationship.
Yep.
You guys are looking at this totally the wrong way.
Obviously.
It's The Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Everybody in the United States of America has one thing in common today. All of us. At 2:20 Eastern, we'll have an alarm go off on our phones and our watches and every single person in America. And it shouldn't be a big deal, but the conspiracy theorists are at it, man. So it's one of these emergency broadcast type things. You know, they're testing the system out. So just in case, you know, something really bad happens, they hit that old school, right? So everybody's getting that today at 2:20. It shouldn't be a big deal. Conspiracy theorists, though, are like, no, we are not having this at all. They're keeping their phone off all day, taking electronics off all day. Because here's what they think. They say that there is an alert that is going to happen today. They already know that. But it's going to be used to activate nanoparticles introduced into people's bodies by the government.
Okay.
What? Okay, come on.
All right, let me explain because I don't quite understand it either. But Cassie here went to Emory. There are many conflicting explanations on how and why this is going to happen. But in a lot of videos, there are people saying that the test is going to trigger a graphene oxide that was put in people's blood through COVID-19 vaccines. And when this happens, the government is going to be able to monitor people and control them like remote control toys.
Sorry to tell you, turning off your phone isn't going to do anything. You're still going to be controlled. Because you're going to hear the sounds from other people's phones.
Oh, that's right.
Also, yeah. I mean, those are some big deals that the government inked with both Apple and Android to make this happen. And I'd turn off your TV, too, because they can get you that way.
Ooh.
Any loudspeakers in public, CCTV cameras, you got to watch out.
Well, these people probably have bunkers for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that is the safest bet.
Now, scientists are saying this is silly. Graphene oxide is not an ingredient in any COVID vaccine. And if it was, scientists say you can't activate it through all of this.
Well, that's nice.
So it makes absolutely
You could if we were in a Marvel movie.
But we're not. So don't be alarmed today when your alarm literally goes off today.
I mean, literally at this point, even if that were true, even if I remotely believed that, literally, it's too late. You have my face data. You have my voice data. You have everything about me. I've given up. Just take it. It's fine. It's not even mine anymore.
Well, you don't have a say in the matter because it's going to happen today at 2:20, okay?
Okay. Well, all good to know. Nice knowing you guys.
It was a pleasure knowing you all as well.
See you tomorrow.
So Mo is wondering if a big-time guy code has been violated here.
Yeah, so I over the weekend, I went from being one of the guys who was mediating to one of the guys who was actually breaking up a fight, a potential fight between two men at a post-baby shower party. And it happened.
Wait, there was a post game for the baby shower?
Yes, there was. Yes, there absolutely was.
Shouldn't there be some kind of international law where these couples' baby showers are just illegal?
I mean, I've never been to one. Never had my husband go to one. I don't know what lottery we won to get out of that, but he's never, as far as I know, my husband has never been to a baby shower. No, that's a lie. Sorry. I planned one and all the guys showed up later.
I caught a lucky break 21 years ago, where my ex-wife and I were scheduled to go to one, but she went into premature labor with Hayden, so we didn't have to attend.
The baby got you out of a baby shower.
What a lucky break. My preemie got me out of the baby shower. Yes. Super worth it.
So I don't know these guys very well. I met them all like for the first time at this baby shower. And afterward, there were a lot of drinks flowing. And then there was like a part of the party where all of the men and all of the women separated and went off into different rooms to do your thing. And so at one point it was obvious for me. It was a bit awkward because all these men knew each other for years. They all had a camaraderie. And I'm like the guy that's just there trying to, I guess, make friends. And at one point, I kind of saw this probably like having potential to go the wrong way, because as the drinks were flowing, there were two guys who appeared to have been best friends. And I guess they've been best friends for a very long time, but they had this unresolved issue that I guess never truly came up. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it was the drinks, I don't know if it was the timing, it came up now. So there was a point of time where they didn't speak for a while. And in that point of time, this happened. So one guy was dating someone, and he made it clear that he was dating her seriously. He wanted that part to be known. It wasn't someone he was just casual with. They thought that they were the one for each other, and it didn't work out. After I think he said it was about a 5-year relationship, they decided to go their separate ways. His best friend at the time felt like he said he would never entertain a woman that his best friend or any of his friends had once been serious with.
Sure.
That was the statement that he made.
That's fair.
Right. That was the topic of conversation at that moment.
That's bro code, right?
Right. This is where it gets tricky, and I wonder how y'all feel about this. At that point when he said, I'm not that kind of guy, I would never entertain a woman that my guy once spoke to, the other best friend said, really? You wouldn't do that, huh? So.
Oh, when somebody says that, something's about to drop.
Right. So he saw it coming, and then he was like, yeah, I said what I said. I would never do that. Like, well, you did it to me. He says, here we go. So I guess this is a conversation that they've had, but they haven't really had. So then the other guys are like, oh, fill us in. Like, what happened?
That's the guy's version of spill the tea.
Spill
Everyone's
the tea.
Getting their popcorn out.
Yeah. Like,
right? So they start to, it kind of started off somewhat friendly, jokey, and then it got serious pretty quickly. Because one guy's stance was, how is that not entertaining? And this is where the semantics happen. Because he says, it's pretty simple. When I broke up with my lady, you and her, for whatever reason you did, went out and had drinks together. And you think I didn't know, and I didn't find this out from you. I had to find this out from her. Uh-oh. In my mind, you violated bro code, period. And then he says, see, that's the problem. The word entertained. I didn't entertain her. And he said what actually happened.
Well, then why'd they go out?
Unless they accidentally met there. They saw each other there.
Yeah, ran into each other. Mm-hmm.
Nope. So he claimed that the reason he didn't violate was because the meeting was for his friend. When they first broke up, she reached out to the friend to say, I don't want to break up. What should I do? Mm-hmm. I guess reaching out to his best friend, feeling like she could get some pointers.
Okay.
And getting them back together. He says because him and his best friend weren't on the best of terms at that time, he didn't necessarily bring it up to his best friend, but he thought he was still doing him a service by actually speaking to her and trying to get them back together.
So he was trying to be a good wingman.
Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Actually, he's being a better wingman for her because she's trying to figure out how to get back with him.
Either way, if that's the truth and he was trying to be a good wingman, why doesn't he tell the best friend, hey, I just want to let you know, yesterday, me and blank went out, and we were talking about you two, and we had a conversation, and I'm trying to get the two of you guys back together.
So that was his beef. His first beef was exactly what you just said. You should have told me. You, like, whether we were on good terms at that point or not, if you felt like we were on any kind of terms for you to actually go out with her, you should have told me. And two, why did y'all need to have drinks?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was his biggest beef. Was y'all, that could have been a text.
Yeah.
That could have been a phone call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why would you need to go to a hookah bar and have a couple of drinks mm-hmm. to talk to my ex about mm-hmm. us getting back together?
That's a good point.
But he stood on his point of, that's what she initiated.
Yeah.
She said, let's meet up and have a couple of drinks. And he's like, we talked about you the entire time. Mm-hmm. So I don't see how I violated or how I was, quote unquote, entertaining her when all we did was have a couple of drinks and talk about you.
It's a foul. It's a foul.
I see both sides.
It's a foul.
I thought it was tough, too.
She totally manipulated him. Because I could see how, from a guy's point of view, he's just thinking, well, I like hookah. She likes hookah. And we're just going to have drinks. And it's going to be fine. But from a woman's perspective.
You sounded exactly like him when you said that.
She totally manipulated him. Mm. 100%. Because now she's going to go to the friend and be like, oh, well, you know what I did this weekend? And then she thinks it's going to make him jealous rather
oh,
than.
Oh, that was a play. You think that was a play?
100%.
Man, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, she played him like a deck.
Ooh-wee.
What's the old saying?
Chestnut checkers.
That's it. Men play checkers, women play chess. Yep, it's the Bird Show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Get it? The Bird Show.
So The Bird Show somehow, some way has made a national publication. Oh, have we? Oh, joy. Just many of us in here don't know what it is.
We are in The Hollywood Reporter.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's like one of the only news organizations I get alerts for. So I am proud, but I'm not going to tell you what we're in there for. I want you guys to guess.
So this is The Hollywood Reporter is all about pop culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Music, movies, TV shows, anything.
Yeah, and I find it's not quite as tabloidy as some other, like TMZ, that sort of thing.
Then why are you reading?
Because I like the news. I like my unbiased news, and it certainly isn't biased at all.
Okay, so The Hollywood Reporter. So we're going to play 20 questions and try to figure out why we got name dropped in The Hollywood Reporter.
In the interest of integrity, which I got 60 seconds ago, I think I know why already, so I'm going to bow out of
okay.
this one.
Okay, all right.
I do not. And
no
I
clue.
Actually searched because I was nosy, but I still couldn't find it.
Somebody had tipped me off on Instagram.
Oh, they did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
So these are just yes or no questions?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And stop. Only email me if we make the news.
It's ridiculous. It's dude. I never saw it coming.
Okay.
I will say that.
Just the tip will ruin it every time.
So it's something we said and talked about on the air that got us into The Hollywood Reporter.
It is something we talked about on the air.
Aren't these just supposed to be yes or no questions?
Yeah.
That's not a yes
or no
question.
I just
wanted to clarify.
Okay, so I'll say yes.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Okay.
Is it something that was specifically mentioned in eBuzz?
No, I don't think it was.
Okay. Was it about Taylor Swift?
No.
Okay.
Was it an entire segment?
Yes.
Oh, crap.
Is it about something we did as a whole group, or is it just about one thing that one member
said? You gotta ask yes or no questions.
Is it just one member of the show being highlighted in this article?
Yes.
Okay. Is it bad?
No.
How many questions are we at?
I don't know.
I think four.
No, you're at six.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mo.
Was race involved?
No.
Okay. Did it have something to do with the Kardashians?
No.
Okay.
Was it something Bert said?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. I think I got it.
Really?
Does it have to do with the Naked Attraction show?
Yes.
Okay. Duh.
You're up to 10 questions.
Naked Attraction.
And that pretty much
it? Yeah, actually, sorry. Yeah, that's the end of it. You guessed it. We're in the Hollywood Reporter. I told you I'm on a 3-second delay today.
So can you please read the article and what it says?
It's random. And
yeah. Wow.
I mean, usually if we get into a publication, especially one that has to do with radio or TV, we'll send out like a mini press release when there's like big news. Like if Dolly Parton would have said something really controversial in our conversation a couple of days ago, somebody would probably send that to some of the tabloids so we could get some national press, and it helps the show out in a couple of different ways. This one came out of nowhere. I don't even know where they got the quote. I don't know who sent it. And it's odd that it was even in there.
It is from September 24th in an article by James Hibbard. Naked Attraction, brutal full frontal nude dating show is quietly added to Max. And our own Bert Weiss syndicated, it says, quote, syndicated radio host Bert Weiss dubbed it the most shocking show I've ever watched.
That's your quote.
We've made it. We have made it.
That's it. That's the one quote they needed.
Yep.
I have no idea how it got in there. I don't know who was listening. I'm assuming maybe through social media when we have been tagging the show that somebody from the show saw it, maybe.
They linked to your social media profile. So I think what they found are us talking about it through social.
Okay. So it was just so incredibly random, man.
Because they often take when they do like tabloid stories or whatever, they're constantly screen capturing people's tweets or Instagrams or comments or stuff like that. So yeah, did you tweet anything about it?
Probably, yes. Okay, yeah, I have.
Okay.
But it's really interesting, sort of an education in how the Hollywood machine works, that somebody from the show was listening or followed us on social media, saw the quote, and then hit the, what's it called again?
No, I'm guessing it's the journalist for the Hollywood Reporter found the
was
quotes.
Searching. I'm sure, he put in Naked Attraction and pulled up all these tweets and like found what he thought would lend to his story and found yours as the most shocking show I have ever seen.
I'm not lying.
No, it is pretty shocking.
I certainly am not lying.
Oh, neat.
Fame at last.
Do you like how I was like, is it bad?
I wouldn't have submitted that we were in the Reporter if it were bad. I would be doing a very different PR campaign.
The Bert Show.
All right, so the question here, moving on, is can you have a crush in a relationship?
Oh, yes. So I was rewatching the official show of fall, Gilmore Girls, of course. And it's one of those shows that like I just kind of drop in on every now and then. And I'm like on a random season. It's like season 6 or something. And I was in the middle of watching this scene with the main character, Rory, who at the time was in a relationship with a character named Logan.
And explain the premise for those that are not familiar with Gilmore Girls, because it is a very cozy show.
Yes.
That you can catch yourself, like if it pops up on the TV, you just sit there and you watch it.
Yeah. So it's about a single mom and her daughter, Rory. And it's basically just like a teen drama. And it follows their escapades, you know, with Rory being like a super type A smart student. She wants to go to Yale. She's in a private school, but her mom comes from money. So there's like an interesting family dynamic as well. But it's really just a very easy, wholesome watch. And it's cool to see like a mother-daughter dynamic that you don't typically get to see in like teen dramas and stuff. But in this particular episode, it was highlighting Rory, the daughter's relationship with Logan, where she was feeling a little guilty because even though they were currently dating, she felt like, I think I might have a crush on someone and I don't know how my partner's going to feel about this.
She felt so guilty. She confessed to him that she found this grad student hot.
And he was okay with it.
Okay. So first of all, this falls under the umbrella of you don't need 100% honesty in your relationship. There's no need for this conversation whatsoever.
This is a very Rory thing to do, though.
Okay, so if you want to keep your relationships healthy, keep your honesty at about 99%. This is too much.
Yeah, keep your crushes to yourself.
I would have been cool not knowing that information.
Right,
and
right.
You know it's a fictional relationship because then when he brings up the fact that he has found other women attractive, Rory just moves on and doesn't say anything about it.
But isn't having a crush on somebody and finding somebody attractive two completely different things?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't compare those.
No. You can't.
So, yeah, so that was my question because I haven't really found myself in this situation, but I'm like, if you've been in a long-term relationship where maybe it's been a couple of years, is it okay to have a crush on someone?
It's fine to appreciate and like to find like, oh, you know, like that guy's hot, that girl's hot, whatever. But to have a crush, like when I hear the word crush, it's like you would hook up with this person if you could.
Is that our definition? That's what I was going to ask. What is the definition of a crush?
Well, let's look up
because a crush certainly feels like there's some intentions behind you finding that person attractive.
A crush is you've thought about it long enough and you know enough about the person to start. Like, crush is like a pregame for love,
yes.
Almost. It's just not reciprocated. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're starting to be like, I really like this guy. And then, but if you're in a relationship, yeah. I don't feel like you should.
You see somebody, a hottie at a Starbucks, and you make like a quick mental note, like, oh, she's hot or he's hot. That's not a crush. A crush is thinking about them more than once and wanting to do something about
getting
it.
Getting excited when you see them, finding ways to like, it's, I would almost label it as micro cheating.
Yeah, like low grade emotional cheating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
According to UrbanDictionary.com, crush is a secret burning desire to be with someone who you find very attractive and extremely special, with whom there's low or no chance at all of being a couple.
So very different than just finding somebody attractive, which Logan thought was the same thing.
Secret burning in any relationship isn't good.
Yeah, it's an indication for sure that you've got one toe out of the current relationship, right?
Well, you've got, so for me, it's not so much the fact that there's someone else who has snagged your attention, because we're human, that happens. It's that you have emotional space.
There's feelings.
For feelings for somebody else. And I think if you are fully happy and maybe committed, and I think there are ups and downs in every relationship, but I think if you are fully happy in your relationship, you're not really, you don't have that space to develop romantic feelings for somebody else.
Now, a crush is somebody you want to be with, not somebody you find just attractive.
So much so that she felt the need to actually admit it. Like, according to your point earlier, Bert, if you just saw somebody was hiding Starbucks, you don't feel the need to run home and admit that.
Although we did have an intern here, and I think this was even before you were here, Kristen, we did have an intern that had 100% honesty with his girlfriend and used to come on the air and confess. Were you part of the show on this?
Kyle.
Was it Kyle?
Yeah, I think so.
That was stupid.
So, Kyle sounds like the kind of guy who would have 100% honesty.
He also didn't think dinosaurs were real, right?
Two different people.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, two different
people. That's the other Kyle.
But yes, you're right about the dinosaur Kyle thing, but this was something else.
Dinosaur Kyle became a teacher.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anyway, other intern used to like confess to his girlfriend, like if he saw a girl at the mall that he thought was hot, he came home and immediately told her, I just want to let you know I had a thought about a girl today. And she would do the same thing. And I would rail on him every time.
What?
Going, dude, there's absolutely no reason for it.
That's not healthy. Why would you do that?
If you see somebody, you immediately have to go home and tell your significant other, I saw somebody and I thought they were attractive.
Although I can see a benefit. Like if you are going to like every thought like that is on the table, then it certainly would breed trust, wouldn't it?
Oh my God. I wouldn't like that. It'd be exhausting.
Yeah, my ego could never.
I couldn't handle it.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Y'all can be honest with me. Are we over talking about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
No, I'm not.
You're not? I know, because I know some people are getting mentioned in a lot of angry tweets.
Oh, who cares?
And listen, when she's the front page of every entertainment article, it is my job to do the reporting. Well, anyway.
And it's fun
and
news.
It's fun. It's like, oh, they're in love. Let's like talk about that.
They've done that twice. What do you mean love?
They're in love.
Are they?
This is love.
Oh, man.
At least in my opinion. Well, anyway, Travis is a little bit over it because he was talking about it with his brother on the New Heights podcast that dropped today. And he did mention that even though he's having a good time with it and he loves how this is going, he does think the NFL needs to tone it down just a little bit.
Yeah. Is the NFL overdoing it? What is your honest opinion?
I think everybody's just like overwhelmed.
Your feelings
with,
for Taylor. What is your honest opinion on how the NFL is treating celebrities at games?
I think it's fun when they show who all is at the game. You know, I think I think it brings a little bit more to the atmosphere, brings a little bit more to what you're watching. But at the same time, I think
they're overdoing it.
They're overdoing it a little bit for sure, especially my situation.
Right.
I think they're just trying to have fun with it.
No, they're trying to make money.
Yes.
Yeah, they're trying to make money. They're trying to get those women watching.
I mean, it is not just the NFL. I'll spend a goodly amount of time with like ESPN on in the background. And now ESPN mostly is like a bunch of dudes all arguing over different sports things. And every single one of these shows now has a segment about Travis and Taylor.
The entire week, too. I mean, even last Monday, they were already talking about her coming to the game that was on Sunday. So there was a segment about them on ESPN every single day of the week.
Now, I think the Chiefs might play Minnesota this weekend because I think I saw, like, the mayor of Minnesota begging for her to go to the game.
They're like, please, we need people to want to come to Minnesota. And I do think she's going to show up to as many games as she can, because that's what a source told a magazine recently, that, like, listen, Joe, who was her super private boyfriend of 7 years, has kept her locked away for a long time. She's ready to just go out and live her life and have fun. Oh, and by the way, she thinks Travis is super hot. That's what the source says.
Well, I mean, it is nice to see her, like, just having fun and living her life. Like, she's in the boxes, she's drinking. I enjoyed seeing her at the MTV VMAs, like tossing them back and just being her, just being herself. And I think so often we want people to act a certain way and be a certain way, and we put them into these boxes, and they deserve to live their lives. And
they can't. It's impossible. And I've said this trillion times on the show. I don't know who would sign up for this kind of celebrity. She's not even at the game. And whoever mentioned this yesterday was right. It was a Giants game that they were booing her at, which she wasn't even at.
Oh, so that wasn't the Jets game. That was the Giants game.
That was the Giants game. Yeah.
Oh, that's a different story.
Because I do think men who have just always been into the NFL are kind of mad that it's now becoming every big headline is about Taylor Swift. So I think they're just using her as like a lightning rod to just take the anger out on. But it's not Taylor's fault. She's literally just showing up to the games to support her boyfriend.
That's all she's doing.
That's literally all she's doing. And she's having a great time doing it. And she looks great. So go, Tay Tay. I will say the one part, I did stop listening to the New Heights podcast the moment Jason said, take away your feelings for Taylor. And I was like, ah, that's it.
You can't do that. You can't take away his feelings.
His feelings for her. They're so in love. Well, anyway, if they do happen to break up, somebody already has a song ready to go because they used AI to create a track for it to make it sound like Taylor is writing a super cheesy. She would never write a song like this, by the way. The lyricist of our generation would never write a song like this.
I didn't think it was too bad. I listened to it this morning. I didn't think it was too bad.
It sounds like something she would have released in her Fearless era. However, we have evolved. And this is what they think a Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce breakup track would sound like.
You stole my heart, you intercepted it.
It's too on the nose.
Now you're gone, have to accept it.
You think Travis Kelce's living the...
Did I meet your mom too soon?
There she is with Taylor Swift.
Or did I do what I always do?
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
I mean, it's for a parody, like, that's pretty damn good.
Put the end in tight end.
Listen, if Taylor ever does put out a song about him, it'll be a little less on the nose, but she might throw in a wink about, like, being a chief or something. A little, like, wink,
yeah, wink. She's never that obvious. She's a little more sly.
She's a poet. For more stories, head to thebertshow.com. Click eBuzz.
The Burt Show.
Think of the Burt Show as a sampler plate of mental illness and dysfunction.
Ooh, like a charcuterie board. I love those.
Oh, we are.
I want to be Gouda.
We got it all right here.
But you ain't Gouda.
You ain't so Gouda.
I know I'm ill. I'm illa.
Today we focus on OCD and anxiety. Who would like to start?
It's a fun one.
Yeah.
For me, I've actually, the more I learn about OCD, the more I look back on my life, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize all this was OCD. That's cool. But it really ramped up after I had my children postpartum. The anxiety kicked in. And OCD, if you don't know, most people think of it like a perfection thing, like, or a numbers counting, which are parts and forms of OCD. But like, oh, all my highlighters have to be perfectly color coordinated and lined up, or I have to flip the light switch 7 times. And those are things. So people will jokingly be like, oh my God, I'm so OCD. Like, I got to arrange my books. But that's not it, because it's an anxiety-based disorder, and there are compulsions that you have to do. And for me, struggling, it can be anything. So for me, the big ones are like clean areas versus dirty areas. I have areas in my house that are clean and areas I consider dirty. And God bless my husband, it was really bad up until recently. We had, like, you wore shoes in these areas and the shoes came off before you walked into these areas. So it was just like mail couldn't go past a certain threshold. Grocery bags couldn't go past a certain threshold. So, like, for me, that's one of them. The other is, like, weird compulsions. Like, if I accidentally touch my hand on the oven, I have to touch the other hand the same way on the oven so it feels even. Mm. That sort of thing. Or, like, if I step on, like, a curb, the other foot has to step on the curb the same way.
Wait. Before we even keep going, because Jackson Kim is in here also. You got the OCD thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Okay. And Abby's got the OCD.
Oh, all three of you guys. Oh, this is even better. Okay. This wasn't planned or anything.
This is even better?
Yeah. Because now we can play OCD poker.
Ooh.
So, Cassie, you come in with one thing you do, and then Abby, you come in with one OCD thing you do, and then Jackson, and we'll go right around. We'll keep going right around the table. Okay?
All right. Here's one thing I do. It's so stupid. Checking for signs of a hit and run. So a big fear, and I didn't realize this until later in life, is if you hit like a bump or a pothole with your car, you'll be like, I know it's not a person, but what if it's a person? And then you have to circle back and check.
Really? Oh my God, I do this. I do that all the time.
Really?
All the time. Okay, my turn. So even if I know for a fact that I've turned off my curling iron and I've like looked at it and I've looked at the plug and I've gone, I have turned off that curling iron. Mm-hmm. When I leave the house and I lock the door and I walked in the hallway, I go, I don't think I turned it off. And I have to go back and check again. And I'll usually do that like twice.
Good luck. If you guys want to get in on OCD poker, 1-855-BIRCHA.
This is actually really interesting because I feel like OCD manifests itself in all sorts of different ways. Mm-hmm. And mine is less about doing things like that obsessively, like when you think about the curling iron, things like that. Mine is more ritualistic behavior based on how things have gone in the past. So, for example, like if I usually categorize my days as like a binary good or bad. Mm-hmm. And if I had a good day, say yesterday was a really good day, that means that today, everything that I did yesterday morning, I have to repeat those exact same steps in the morning in order for me to feel like I'm setting up my day properly.
Oh, good one. Good one.
Very good. Very good.
Cassie, what you coming in with?
Ooh, intrusive thoughts about death and dying and obsession with it. So, you know, just in the middle of the night or whenever, I'll just have awful thoughts that I might harm somebody by accident, and I have to snap myself out of it.
Good one.
Good one.
Okay, next hand.
Okay,
Abby.
I recently learned this was a thing from TikTok, but apparently you can have OCD with your religion as well. Mm-hmm. So before I get like on a plane or something, I will feel, if I like didn't pray, quote unquote, enough, I will be convinced that like the plane's going to go down because God's mad at me.
Really?
I had religious OCD.
Good
for
one.
A little bit too.
Good one. Jackson, your hand.
Going off of the airplane thing, the very first, like for as long as I can remember, I would always take the like safety pamphlet that's in the front pocket of your seat, and I would skim it over and read it. And I know everything that's on there. I don't have to touch up on it. But every single time I get on a plane, in order for me to have what's going to be a safe flight, I have to take that out and I have to skim the entire
thing.
Very
good one. Wow. Good one. Wow. All right, Cass, you're up.
Everything has to be unplugged at night, and I have to triple check the oven and the stove and all the doors.
You told us that before. Triple check.
Yeah, because I just don't trust myself. It's an anxiety, which is based in fear. So It's that my children will suffer gruesome deaths because I couldn't be bothered to check
by the
stove
way,
one more time.
Cassie, Chad just called me and said you left the stove on.
Probably. Well, that's the thing. I feel like one time in my life I did, so now I know it's like a thing that I am capable of. So if I don't triple check it, and then usually I get too lazy, so Chad has to go. Like, I need a backup set of eyes to make sure that I'm seeing it right.
OCD and lazy really does seem like a total oxymoron.
It's exhausting. Yeah. It really is.
Well, that's why you're
tired
lazy
all the time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No wonder you're tired all the time.
Yeah, honestly, like, I've had some in-depth conversations with my husband recently about maybe getting on medication because it is so exhausting.
Hold on. Katie's like, wait, listener Katie here is like, hold on a second. You guys stand back. She wants a hand here. Hey, Katie, we're playing OCD poker.
Hi, guys. And actually, I was also the person for the 30th birthday, so I love you so much. I didn't get a birthday card or anything, so that meant everything.
Okay. Happy birthday. Late.
Yeah. I love you guys so much. But anyways, I'm a freak because...
Wait. You're not a freak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is an actual affliction, so you are not a freak. But you can join our freak show.
You know what? I need more birth therapy. So I love my animals, but I also work 12-hour shifts, and I have this fear that I forgot to do something and my house is going to light on fire and my animals are going to die. So I have to check the doors multiple times. Sometimes I'll get down to my car at my parking lot and have to go back up because I'm like, no, it did not click when I felt it click. So,
dang, good one, Katie.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a freak, just disordered.
Yeah.
Tiffany. Tiffany wants in. Good morning, Tiffany. You're on the Burt Show. We are playing OCD poker.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
This isn't me, it's my girlfriend, but she has to kiss me 4 times in a row in order for the kiss to be satisfied.
So if it's 3, she's like, get your ass back here.
Yeah, pretty much, honestly.
Good one.
Okay.
Good one. There you go. All right, Abby.
Okay, so going off of the pets thing again, I have this fear that my cat is going to chew, because she eats everything. She eats plastic, she eats hair ties, she eats anything that's on the floor.
Are you sure it's a cat, not a goat?
No, she's not a goat, she's a cat. So before I go out, because I have this guilt about going out and drinking sometimes, before I go out, I will furiously vacuum all the floors just to ensure that there's no ibuprofen on the floor or little plastic hair ties, because if she chokes and dies, that's going to be my fault.
Good one.
And it's going to be because I went out drinking. I was a little snowed out.
I'm not a therapist, but I'm pretty sure that's harm OCD. You're afraid that your actions will hurt somebody else by accident. Or some people are intent.
You got all the OCDs. Every category.
I know. It's a whole charcuterie board. I told you.
Jackson.
Every time I'm watching any content like TikTok or Reels or anything like that, the last one that I watch has to be something positive or good. Mm. If I end on a true crime, something about someone getting murdered or something in the news that's really negative, I have to keep going until I get to something that's positive or happy.
I think that's healthy.
Yeah, I do too.
For sure. Damn, it sounds so exhausting.
It is. And there are other things. I wash my hands so much after touching certain things that my hands will crack and bleed. And that's the thing about OCD. Is that it manifests so differently in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And some people, I don't have the numbers counting. That's not a thing for me. But other people, I've seen Alyssa Myers on TikTok, who's a big TikToker, document one of her OCD rituals, and she can't get out of it. And it's a compulsion and logic. Just, you logically know it's irrational, but you can't do anything about it.
Burt Show, putting the fun in dysfunction.
That's what we do.
It's the Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirtshow.com or follow us on social media @thebirtshow.